Okay, fine. So last week, the parsha ends off with what happens. We'll see if you remember. God tells Moshe what? That Moshe's going to die, and then what's going to happen? As soon as he dies, what does he say? The people are going to start worshiping Avodah Zarah. Right? They're going to go off the Derech. So you have one thing that you can do. Right? There's one thing you can do that is going to give them the final chizuk to hope that they don't worship Avodah Zarah. And what is that? Kitvu lachem et ha-shira hazot. Right? Is write this song, which is this week's parsha, Ha'azinu, which is going to be this overview, this theological overview of Jewish history. Right? Right? Basically, this is the final attempt. Okay? So that leads us into Ha'azinu. And it starts off, Ha'azinu ha-shamayim v'adaber v'tishma aretz imreifi. The heavens should listen. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear what I am saying. Now, one of the things that's important to note is that if this is like the prophecy, right, the nevuah that's supposed to train the Jews, tell the Jews what's going to happen if they don't follow God, so what would you expect? Right, what would you expect would happen when the Jews actually worship Avodah Zarah and are about to be punished? What would you expect to happen? If this is like the message, right, what would you expect to happen? Sure, they would get destroyed, but what do you expect? It was a Navi who was going to talk to the Jews at that time. What is he going to do? What? He's going to give them Musar, and what's he going to do? If he's smart, he's going to invoke this Perek. Right? He's going to vote Azinu, meaning if this is supposed to be, now who in fact does that? Like, there's a Navi who actually invokes Azinu, right? Okay, what's the haftarah for Parshat Dvarim? I'll give you a hint. It's the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. What is the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av called? Eli, what? It's Chazon, Shabbat Chazon. Why is it called Shabbat Chazon? Because the haftarah is the first parak of Yishayahu, which is Chazon Yishayahu. Right? So Yishayahu says, Shimu Shamayim, Va'azini eretz, ki Adonai diber, banim gidalti v'romamti, v'heim pashubi. Listen, O earth, right? Listen, O heaven, and listen, O earth, right? Because the Jews, my children have rebelled, and now he goes on to the punishment. You're going to be destroyed, right? Not surprisingly, right? Shimu shamayim, va'azini eretz, right? That is, hazinu ha-shamayim, right? That's exactly what he's doing. He's saying, listen, God already told Moshe to give you the message for all of history of what will happen if you sin, and guess what? Now is the reckoning, right? Okay. What I want to do is just focus for a second on the first pasuk, though. What does it mean? What does it mean to say, Ha'azinu ha-shamayim v'adaber v'tishma ha'aretz imreifi? What, why are you calling heaven and earth? What does that even mean? Right? Meaning central, apparently, to this prophecy is this idea that you're calling heaven and earth. To do what? Right? Okay, so who says witnesses? Very good, right? What Eli says, that they're witnesses, exactly as Kobe says, that's Rashi. Rashi says, Shani matrebahem b'Yisrael v'yitu eidim b'davar, shekach amarti lahem shatem tiyu eidim. Right? V'lama heid b'hem shamayi v'aret. So I am warning you, and they will be my witnesses. Why heaven and earth? Amar Moshe, ani basar v'dam, I'm human, l'machar ani meit, I'm dying tomorrow. Im yomru Yisrael lo kibalnu aleinu abrit, mi ba'u machishen. So if they deny that there was such a covenant, who will come and contradict them? That's Rashi possibility one. What's Rashi's second possibility? Right, so possibility one is heaven and earth are called to be eternal witnesses because they're eternal and Moshe is not. Right, Rashi one. What's Rashi two? Some who remembers who did Rashi last year's Sta'im Ikra? Or remembers for other reasons. And second one, V'od, this is from the Tanchuma, right? So the second one is, the first answer is from the Sifrei, the second one is from the Tanchuma. She'im yizku yavoa idim v'yitin scharam. It's not just they're witnesses, they are witnesses and executioners. Right? So if the Jews are worthy, so they'll be rewarded. How does the heaven reward them? Rain. How does it punish them? No rain. Right? How does the land reward them? It produces food. How does it punish them? It ceases to produce food. Right? So possibility one is they're called on to attest to the covenant. Possibility two is they're not just witnesses. They are the, right? They're the executioners. Right? They're actually the ones who will fulfill it. Now, both of these possibilities assume that Moshe literally means that he's talking to heaven and earth, or the sky and earth, whatever you want to say, right? Very good. So the other possibility, which is in many other Mepharshim, is that no. It's not calling on heaven and earth. Well, heaven and earth are inanimate objects. What do they have anything to do with it? What he's calling on is the angels. So this, for example, seems to be Reb Sajagon. Ibn Ezra says it explicitly. Reb Sajagon says, Hazinu Vigomer, Yatu Ozen Anshe HaShamayim. Listen, the people of heaven, V'adabra V'yishmu Anshe HaAretz Nimrefi, and let the people of earth listen to me. Right? What he's saying is angels and people, listen to what I'm saying. Now, it seems like that, right? Anshei Shamayim are the people of heaven. So as the footnoter on the Reb Sajagon, I think it's Chevelle, right, points out, he probably means similar to what Ibn Ezra says, right? Where Ibn Ezra says explicitly, and he quotes the Gaon, right? So at least the Ibn Ezra believes that this is what Reb Sajagon meant. HaShamayim HaMalachim, right? Those in heaven mean the angels. V'tama Aretz Anshei Aretz. Right? So what is he really saying? So the second half of it is obvious. Right? Shimush, right? Listen, O land. Right? That makes sense. When what he means is the people of the earth. What he's saying is, listen, I'm making a deal with you. I'm making a covenant with you. Listen to what I'm about to say. The angels, presumably, either they're part of the covenant, which would be very odd, or more likely, right, they are the ones who can either testify or implement it, because they are not inanimate objects, right? They're not heaven and earth, right? Presumably what bothered Reb Sajagon is, why would you call something inanimate? The answer is no. Shim'u, right? Tishma ha'aretz is the people have to listen to the covenant, and the angels have to listen to either testify about it or punish, right? Actually implement the terms of the deal. That is the first answer of the Ibn Ezra. His second one is like Rashi. Right, which is that no, they exist forever, and that's the point. The Ramban quotes the second day in the Ramban in the Ibn Ezra as his first answer, but then he gives another one. Valderach Hamet, Hema Shamayim Aretz Harishonim Anizkarim Bivreishit Ki Hem Yavo Bivrit Im Yisrael Al Ken Amar Sheyazino Hashamayim Vishmu Atnaim VeEich Yaseh Bahem. So he says now, similar to Rashi, except he adds a twist. And he says, no, you know what this is? Why are you invoking Shemayim and Aretz? Because, right, they're the ones in Breishit, meaning, like, from the beginning of time. And they are part of this covenant, presumably like Rashi, to actually implement the deal. But what he seems to be adding is why, right? Why of all things are heaven and earth? It's not just to live forever. What Ramban seems to imply is that it's, right, the Jews accepting the covenant is like fundamental to creation. Right, that's why they're called, because they have been there since the beginning. It's not that they're going to be there forever, but it's partially because they have been there forever. Meaning, built into the fabric of creation is the responsibilities that the Jews have toward God, and therefore the consequences have to be somehow tied into the very fabric of creation. How do you do that? You call on the first things which are created, which are heaven and earth. Right? Meaning this is really going back to Bereshit. Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim et ha-aretz. At the beginning, there was a plan for the world when God created it. And now the Jews are supposed to manifest that. And if they don't, at some level, creation itself has to be involved. Right? And that seems to be what the Ramban is adding. So what you have, right, just from those, is you have the possibility that they're just Edim, right, Rashi 1, that they're going to execute it, which is Rashi 2, right? Ibn Ezra 2 is they're going to be Edim. Reb Sajagon and Ibn Ezra 1, or no. He's calling to people and angels, either because the angels will testify, right, or and the people will listen, or maybe the angels will implement it, I don't know. Right? And then the Ramban seems to add that it's more than that. It's not just that they happen to be there forever. That's why they're right. It's because these are which were there at the beginning. And seemingly something about the Jewish covenant is fundamental to the very existence of the world, and that's why heaven and earth are being called, right, to make a point, right, that this, the reason this is so important, the reason the consequences are so dire is because this is what the world is all about. Okay, I think that is, right, enough just to sort of, right, show how much just in the first pasuk, right, the different possibilities show how fundamental it is, and the different perspective is exactly what the consequences here are supposed to be. But we're already over 10 minutes. So.